Today, I'm at Oliver's Mount as the circuit prepares for the most important racing event of the year, the Gold Cup. I'm talking to Tony Coupland. He's taken a few minutes out of his own preparations. Tony has been the voice of Oliver's Mount for over 40 years. In that time, he has seen the racecourse go through some magical moments, but also a few challenging times. Tony, can I ask you why this racing circuit is such a special place in the hearts, not only of the fans, but also for the competitors who keep flocking here in such numbers?
Well, you've only got to look at the hillsides, the beauty of the place. It really is something very, very different from anything else in the UK. And the atmosphere that's generated in the paddock, and in fact, with the spectators, some of whom have been coming for many, many years. I was 4 years old when I first saw motorcycle racing here at Oliver's Mount, and that was me hooked from day one. We don't get the smell of the castor-based oils now, but the exhausts, the Doppler effect of exhaust going up Sheen's Rise right up to the top of Quarry Hill was an awesome experience. And there's just nowhere else like it in the UK, with the exception of the Isle of Man.
What kind of experience is it then for the fans compared to other circuits?
There's closeness. They really are very, very close to the riders. In many circuits like Silverstone, Donington, well, to a lesser degree, Holton Park, they're so far away, you almost need binoculars to see the riders, but here you're within touching distance.
In terms of those young riders who come here for the first time, how is it for these guys in terms of their training for their careers?
First timers, we always nominate an experienced rider to show them the way around. So we start the practice session tomorrow with three laps under the control of a rider who leads the way, shows them the lines to take, and hopefully that will give them more than an inkling. Many of them actually walk the circuit beforehand, which is a good thing, or cycle it, and it helps them get to grips with it. For others, it's a really daunting experience. Some just don't like it because it's so narrow and you're so close to trees and all sorts of obstacles, so they need a visit to their laundress on Monday morning. And those guys we tend not to see again. But the majority of newcomers really take to it. We've got the very experienced riders in the field here who, like Dean Harrison, who is the star man here this weekend. Dean on his first race here at Oliver's Mount, which was back in the Gold Cup of 1989. He crashed at the cafe on the approach to Memorial and took the handles off the cafe doors. But he has since developed into a first-class rider. Very much in demand. He's won Isle of Man TTs, and it just gets a grip on you. You can't explain it. It doesn't happen at other circuits in the same way. But Oliver's Mount is just so special.
Over the many, many years that you've been commentating and before that visiting the circuit, tell us a little bit about your standout moments during that time.
Well, I used to be a big fan of the late Dennis Parkinson back in the 50s. Dennis was a head-down, backside-up sort of rider, motorbike dealer from Huddersfield, and he'd won several Manx Grand Prix, and he was a star man. And Jeff Duke, multiple world champion riding Nortons and Gileras, he likened this to a mini TT, and he was instrumental in attracting foreign riders to come here for the first time. I think we've only got one, Chris Mayer, this weekend. He's from Reinsdorf in Germany, and he's tried to get here but couldn't get permission from his federation. But he finally got here earlier this year, and Where he lives, he has a repair shop for motorbikes, cars, and he was just near to the MZ factory, where Walter Carden produced some very quick machinery, and he brought one with him here last time on display. An interesting guy, and great to welcome him back once again. Other standout moments, Earl Fogarty, Jimmy Whittam. Let's see who else has gone on to do great things. There are so many, and Scarborough's been an intrinsic part of them learning their craft. Here you've got to have your wits about you. Nowhere are the three hairpin bends like the ones here at Scarborough. That is very different from any other circuit in the UK. If you can master that, you're a very good rider indeed.
One of the big names, of course, Barry Sheen, who I think
Barry
had
Sheen.
Fondness for.
Indeed. He loved the place. He had some of his first rides with the Auto 66 Club at Elvington, New York, which was a flat circuit. And he was lured into coming to Scarborough. He came and had a look. And, well, I can't use the words Barry used. His language tended to be rather colourful. But the gist of it was, I don't know whether I should be riding somewhere like this. But he came and he loved it from the word go. And as he got better machinery, of course, being at world level and world champion in 76 and 77, but whenever he could persuade Suzuki or Yamaha at one stage to give him a bike to undertake non-world championship events, and he would be here like a shot right until his move to Australia. But we flew him back over to parade on some of the bikes he'd ridden.
How difficult has it been to keep the circuit operational over the years in the light of evolving safety issues and as you say, the geometry of the course?
Well, the governing body of the sport, the ACU, or Auto Cycle Union, did a circuit inspection and made demands for rectisol air fence, which is very, very expensive indeed. Straw bales insisted on the use of rectisol air fence, which is very, very expensive, and there were several areas of the circuit where they demanded that rectisol be used. And Peter Hillaby, who'd run Oliver's Mount since the mid-70s virtually, Peter was not in good health. In a way, he didn't see the need for it, and he didn't do it, which caused a report back to the ACU, who contacted Scarborough Council, and Peter was refused permission to continue running Oliver's Mount. Sad in many, many ways. He was his own man. He was you either got on with him or he didn't. But he, I suspect, dipped into his pocket on occasions to keep the place running. When we got bad press from the media and several newspapers who linked us with the Isle of Man and said racing should be banned there because, sadly, one or two people had lost their lives. But he battled on, and until the end of 2017, and there was no racing here in 2018. But a rescue attempt came with the two riders involved, Mick Grant and, forgot his name, I'm getting old.
Tony, what of the future? At the start of every race, the whole of Scarborough gets a buzz when we hear that roar of the bikes. For how long do you think will we carry on experiencing that and providing that enjoyment to the fans who come here in their thousands?
Well, since Andy Hayes took over, he was hit with all sorts of misfortunes, COVID being the biggest one, which meant he couldn't get any revenue, but he still had the expenditure, like the rental of the circuit, and it was a difficult time. But he and his wife Wendy had this determination to make Oliver's Mount work, and they've done a first-class job. They've got a great team. Part of the team that he had originally departed at the end of 2022, I think it was. But he's built up another Marshall squad, and it's actually working better in many respects. And I don't know how they can get sleep, because both Andy and Wendy have so much on the plate, but the determination to see Oliver's Mount continue into the foreseeable future. The only thing that may change, you may lose the roar as electric bikes are developed. I think it's quite a way away yet. I think we've got a good number of years where traditionally powered bikes will continue, but I can see electric bikes making inroads when the battery situation gets sorted out. The problem on bikes, the batteries are so heavy that it's need to develop a different riding style. But I think the time will come when we've got to go down that route. But I think it's a lot of years away. But I think Oliver's Mount will thrive and continue into the next century, hopefully.
Tony, I know you're a busy man today, making all the preparations for the Gold Cup. Thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. And thank you as the voice of Oliver's Mount for so many years.
You're more than welcome. And it's great that we've got a mention on the seawall.